In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Texans-Jags coming up on Sunday. The Texans lost to the Titans this past Sunday. That's relevant for our next conversation here because joining us right now on the hotline, he was on the call for this game with CBS. He's our Odyssey NFL insider, and his name is Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Ross, it's great to talk to you. It was great seeing you here in Houston last week. How did Houston treat you? How was your trip overall?
Well, likewise and likewise. It was great, man. I love Houston. It was awesome. I mean, the hotel was nice. It was great hanging with you at Tom's Watch Bar Thursday night. It was nice. The weather was nice for us as we're watching Pittsburgh and Cleveland play in the snow. Mm-hmm. And then the Texans, very hospitable on Friday, going to practice and everything. The worst part of the weekend for me was Friday night. I went to the Houston Cougars basketball game, but my high school team went into overtime. So I spent most of the game just looking at my phone. and then they blew it in overtime. So that was disheartening. But then Saturday, I don't know. Well, we went to the hotel, the Titans Hotel. We walked by like an ice skating rink and like an outdoor festival or something. Wow. And then the hotel where we at had like a lazy river on the sixth floor where the Titans were staying. And then the key to the whole weekend was the Texans press box food.
Bingo.
It is spectacular. I mean, I have them now number one in the NFL.
Yes.
And not only that, I don't know if Cal McNair is listening or not. I am thoroughly impressed by the entire organization and in particular the game day experience. I don't know if it's like this for you guys, but everybody, as we went through security, you know how now you have to go through all these different like things where you have to show your badge, mm-hmm. your face or whatever. Everybody was so nice, smiling, friendly. Happy game day. Have a great game day. It was really nice. It's not like that in other cities. I don't, you know, that's a culture thing, I guess, with your organization. It's very well done. It's noticeable. So shout out to Cal McNair and the entire organization. It's very, very impressive, both the food and the hospitality.
The only thing I feel bad about for some of those people is that on my game day activities, where Ross, as you know, I was sick this last week, so I wasn't there, I end up passing the same people like 10 times, and they're very committed to the bit. So they gave me the same emphatic greeting every single time, and I feel bad for them because they know. They're like, listen, Seth, I got to say it, okay? I got to say it. let me ask you this. For the vast majority of people listening, should they care more about whether the Texans are offering up good press box food or whether they're putting a competent offense on the field?
I would say the latter. Press box food does not affect almost anyone listening.
Other than a pretty healthy majority, right? Yeah.
Yeah. That was surprising to me, I would say. And if you're a Texans fan, certainly disappointing. I mean, it's unbelievable. They get that awesome kickoff return. Then the Titans drop a coverage and you're like, okay, bam, here we go. 7-0. And then you get a pick six from Jimmy Ward, who's filling in for Petrie, you know, one of your best players. You need to win that game. You know what I mean? Like, go through some of the things. You have 8 sacks, including 7 in the first half. You score on your first play of the game. You have a pick six. That's rough to lose that game.
Yes.
You know, given everything I just said, that is rough to then lose that football game. But you give up chunk plays like they did defensively, you're gonna. I mean, Eric Murray gets beat on the double move by Westbrook Akine. You give up the deep post to Ridley. Nobody can tackle Okonkwo. You know, the Titans surprisingly ran the ball much better than the Texans. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest concern I'd have if I were a Texans fan isn't that they lost to the Titans. It's that it wasn't a fluke, like, at all. I mean, the Titans were the better team in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd said that up in the press box, Ross, with the, you know, the guys I was sitting with. I said, by the end of that game, I said, if you had somebody, a football fan, watch that game, but they didn't know the records of the two teams, and then after the game was over, you said, pick the team that was 7-4, pick the team that was 2-8 going into this game. I wouldn't have been able – I would have just said, I don't know. They looked like two very evenly matched teams in that game. You know what I mean?
No question. Yeah. In fairness, I will say this happens in the NFL sometimes, right? Like, the Cleveland Browns have 3 wins. 2 of those wins are against teams that are in the top 7 of the all-important Ross Tucker Football Podcast power rankings. So think about that. Like, the Browns only have 3 wins. One was against the Ravens. One was against the Steelers.
Yeah.
So this happens where sometimes the other team plays well. Sometimes the other team has a really good plan. Obviously, the Titans came out and did some really positive things. Levis clearly has been better the last 3 games than he was before that. And I'd also say, on some level, if you're the Texans, they've played so many one-score games at home, one-score games in the division. They were kind of winning more than their fair share of those.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, that they were winning a high percentage of close games. Now, I think that there's certain traits to that, and certain teams are better at closing those games out than others. But if you're going to play with fire that often, you're going to get burnt sometimes. Obviously, the Fairbairn missed chip shot stunned all of us, and you know, they might have won the game in overtime after that, but it's not like you watch that game and think, you know, Texans got a raw deal, Texans should have won that game. Like, no, I mean, it game could have gone either way, and frankly, you know, you have CJ throw 2 interceptions like that in your own territory. They really probably could have lost by more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where, you know, if you go back to the Texans versus the Lions, if the Texans had beat the Lions, you talk about a close game, et cetera, it would have been a flukish game. You know, you pick off Jared Goff 5 times, and credit to the Texans defense for doing that, but you end up losing that game with a +3 turnover margin. And the Texans look like a worse team than the Lions in that game. They did not look like evenly matched teams. And it all comes back to offensive incompetence. So when we're looking, this is where we are on it, Ross, right now. It's why we're excited to have you in, because we know you watched a bunch of Titans film and Texans film leading into the game. It's that, all right, CJ is clearly not himself, not the same guy he was last year. And yet, I don't see Bobby Slowick or the rest of the offense doing a lot to help him be that guy. So we're at this point where we're trying to figure out, all right, has CJ definitively regressed, or is it the matter of just a completely inept offense surrounding him?
Yeah, I don't think he's playing as well as he did last year. Now, I thought he did some really nice things at times. You know, I thought there were times where he maneuvered the pocket, certainly way better than Levis did. I mean, I felt bad, but Levis took so many sacks that he shouldn't have. It was driving me bananas.
You were carrying a lot of water for the Titans offensive line in that broadcast.
For the Titans, you think?
Yeah, well, at one point you had blamed them for like 5 of the 7 sacks, I think. You had blamed Will Levis for pretty much all the sacks. That was the only thing I disagreed with you on during the broadcast.
5 of the 8 or 4 of the 7 at one point, I put more on Levis. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. There was 3 where I felt like Titans offensive linemen were beat, you know, by Hunter or Will Anderson or whatever, and it was clearly on them. You know, it's probably, we all have like our own bias, right? I am biased against quarterbacks that run themselves into sacks.
Yeah.
Literally step up into a sack. No, thank you, Will Levis. At any rate,
he did a lot of positive things.
But Stroud, getting back to Stroud. Stroud, I thought he had some awesome plays where he would like step up in the pocket, maneuver, and then pinpoint accuracy. But, you know, there are a couple things that jumped out. You know, the throw to Mechie, they weren't on the same page. Yeah. And I know that happens sometimes, but it feels like that's happening more often with the Texans this year than last year, which is weird, where he's kind of not really in sync with his receiver. And then the other one, I mean, he said it after the game, I give him a lot of credit, he just needs to put more air under it or get it over. That's a bad throw. But I think maybe more concerning, there was how many, like 2 or 3, maybe 3 or 4 others where he was just off.
Yeah.
You know, and I just remember thinking, boy, you didn't see that. I don't remember seeing that very often from him the year before. And then making matters worse, they really couldn't run it very effectively at all. And that's kind of what they've leaned on with the passing game not being where they want it to be. They've leaned on the running game more and Mixon. But with Simmons and Tavondre Sweat, that's a tough group to run against. And it felt like, again, they were kind of running themselves into a wall on some of the early downs, and then it would put them in the third and longer situations. Just a bad formula right now.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you enjoy deep dives into solved and unsolved murder cases, then Murder True Crime Stories is the podcast for you. Find Murder True Crime Stories on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ross Tucker is our Odyssey NFL Insider. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. You had a follow-up you wanted to hit him with, Seth, here.
Oh, I did? Yeah. Okay, well, just the offensive line in general, because you are a former offensive lineman. How much of the offensive line ineptitude right now do you put on the individuals versus what Bobby Slowik is asking them to do?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't come away from that game thinking that they played really bad. I mean, I kind of knew it was inevitable at some point that Jeffrey Simmons would probably beat Juice Scruggs for a sack, and he did. Man, that Tavondre Sweat guy, that is a big human being. Holy cow, for the Titans. But honestly, I didn't come away thinking it was a horrible performance by the Texans' offensive line. I mean, I would say it was average, and I think based on how they played this year, I think you'd probably take average. I think the biggest issue is they just really were not able to run the ball very effectively, and it feels like when the Texans are in obvious passing downs this year, they're struggling. It's too many third and longs. It's too many situations where, you know, Stroud doesn't often seem like he feels comfortable in the pocket even when the protection's there, if that makes sense. It's almost like the lack of protection in some way has gotten him to the point where he's a little bit skittish.
Yeah.
You know, the Titans D coordinator said, we got to get people around his feet, which is an interesting way to phrase it. But the point being, we got to make him a little uncomfortable. And I think that's what they did. Even if they didn't rack up big sacks, it feels like he's just not a comfortable, as Greg Cosell would say on a Thursday edition of the Ross Tucker podcast, he's not a comfortable player right now.
No, he got really damaged by those three games. I think it was week 7, 8, and 9. It was Green Bay, Indy, and then the Jets game on Thursday night, where the pressure rates, Ross, were like 55-57% pressure, and he was getting waylaid in those games. I'm curious, big picture, Ross. The Texans are 7-5. The Colts are 5-7. They're both 1-3 since they played each other a few weeks ago. So the Colts have not been able to take advantage of the Texans' recent stretch of futility here. Five games to go, and the Texans got one of those stretches coming up at Christmas time where they play three games in 11 days against good teams. How much danger are the Texans in right now of coughing up this division, do you think?
Not much.
Okay.
I don't have a whole lot of faith in the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Anthony Richardson is so up and down that it's hard for me to picture the Colts going anything but like 500 down the stretch, right? Like, if things are going well for Richardson, I still think in, you know, their last five games that they go 3-2 at best.
Mm-hmm.
So that probably puts them at 8-9. Yeah. The Texans are not going to blow that. As I said, though, at the very start of the broadcast, and I'll repeat with you guys, I think the goals for the Texans should be bigger than that. I mean, they won the division last year. Yeah. They won a playoff game last year. The question for the Texans is whether or not they're a legitimate contender in the AFC. And I think the answer right now is pretty clearly no, right? Like, against the Chiefs, the Bills, the Ravens, the Steelers, even the Steelers, I wouldn't pick the Texans to win those games. To me, they're more in the second tier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it feels like it's Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, and then maybe the Steelers, and then there's the next tier, which is like Chargers, Broncos, Texans, and I would even put the Dolphins in there right now, the way they're playing. Feels like the feel like that's the category that the Texans find themselves in, tier two, which isn't like the worst place to be, but they were kind of tier two last year. And you'd like to think with the additions that Caserio's made, I mean, obviously the Diggs injury's unfortunate, but you bring in Danielle Hunter, they've got some rookies, Lassiter and Bullock, playing really well. I mean, that's the thing that would be so maddening to me if I'm a Texans fan, is they've actually brought in several new players, Al Shire, from last year, that are playing pretty well, and yet they're not better. It's not a great look for the coaching staff, to be honest with you.
No, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Well, Ross, three of those teams you just named, Dolphins, Chiefs, Ravens, they play within a week and a half, all three of those teams after the bye week. So we'll get a pretty clear picture of who the Texans are and what tier they're in as the postseason hits us, for sure. Where are you at this week, Ross, during Thanksgiving? You get any time off, or are you a road warrior again this week?
Never time off. I will leave tomorrow because I got a Black Friday game on big CBS. It's the Bill Walsh legacy game. It's Stanford at San Jose State. I didn't think it actually had a name, so I was making up a rivalry. I was saying that it was the Silicon Valley Showdown, okay, and that they would battle for the almighty microchip. But evidently, like, it's actually the Bill Walsh legacy game. And then Sunday night, I'm in the booth for radio, Niners and Bills, Westwood One.
Awesome. Okay, so you're spending – and I'm assuming – is that one in Buffalo, or is that in San Francisco? Are you out in the Bay Area all
Buffalo.
Week long?
Actually, that would have been nice, right, to be able to just stay there.
Yeah.
I'm going to see if I can – I might text the Niners, see if I can get on the team charter.
That'd be beautiful.
From the Bay Area to Buffalo. Save me a whole lot of frustration.
Yes, yes, yes. And then fire up a video of whatever the food spread is on the charter, too, and see how the Niners compare.
Yeah, one time I was able to fly on a team charter, and they said – two things. Number one, don't tell anybody. And number two, if there's a fight, definitely don't tell anybody.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. Hey, Ross, we appreciate the time as always. Very happy Thanksgiving, and we look forward to catching up with you next week. Safe travels.
Likewise, fellas. Mayo, rest of the show be delicious.
It will be. Don't worry. Appreciate you, Ross Tucker.
Boy.
He is our Odyssey NFL insider. Insider calls, as he just mentioned, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious.